Dear Father, we love you, we trust you, we are so incredibly thankful for this day that you've given us. Pray that you would watch over us, connect our hearts to you today. We pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know about you, but as we age, we hit these different milestones in life, and I'm not quite sure what life will look like in 70s, and you know, when you hit these new milestones, but I know when you turn 70, that's a huge milestone to be celebrated, right? And I think of parties and family and traveling to like cool places, and I think about celebrating with the people I love in that way. Now, it's interesting because when Jack LaLanne celebrated his 70th birthday, he celebrated it by swimming 1.5 miles along the California coast from Queensway Bridge to Long Beach Harbor. But what made this so impressive is he did it while wearing handcuffs and shackles on his arms and legs, and he pulled 70 rowboats, each holding one person. Now, when I picture celebrating my 70th birthday, I do not picture this, but he swam 1.5 miles, pulling 70 boats and 70 people. It's crazy for an accomplishment. But interestingly enough, this incredible genius and the king of fitness, it wasn't his only impressive accomplishment. At the age of 42, he set a world record by doing 1,000 push-ups in 23 minutes. I think I could get 2 push-ups in 23 minutes, and he did 1,000. At 45, he did 1,000 jumping jacks, 1,000 pull-ups in 1 hour and 22 minutes. At the age of 60, he swam from Alcatraz to Fisherman's Wharf, towing a 1,000-pound boat. You have to look this guy up. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I say all of this because, you know, he didn't wake up one morning at 70 and say, I think I can pull 70 boats for 1.5 miles, each carrying a person, also while wearing handcuffs and shackles. Like, that's not just something you can wake up and do one day. It's a lifetime of training. It's a lifetime of practice that gives you the ability how. And he says, the only way you can hurt the body is not using it. And so his life, he created these rituals and routines that allowed him to be fit and strong and accomplish these ridiculous feats that he set out for. Let me just give you an example of some of his daily habits. He would lift weights and do strength training for 90 minutes. He would swim or run for 30 minutes. He'd eat 10 raw vegetables a day. He ate 2 meals, a late breakfast and an early dinner. And every day he woke up at 4 a.m. And he did this for decades. Even into his 90s, before he passed away, he still exercised about 2 hours a day. Now, I try to have an organized life. I try to create regular habits. That is a disciplined man with some very healthy routines he created to accomplish the things that he wanted to do. The only way he was able to do these incredible, record-breaking things was these daily habits that he instilled for himself, these choices he made that gave him the strength and the stamina to do these ridiculous, nearly impossible things. He had a rhythm that he created for his life that allowed him to do just incredible things physically. He was able to keep growing and challenging himself at even different levels of age. Now, I don't have the aspiration to pull 70 boats while I'm handcuffed. That's not a goal that I have for my life anytime soon. Maybe you have different goals, but look, all of us have the potential and the ability to grow. All of us have these unique souls that God has given us that have potential to develop and grow. We all have the abilities to create healthy rhythms in our life that allow us to become more emotionally and spiritually mature in our life. And remember, we've talked about the idea that our life is moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our habits right now determine what we can do tomorrow. The habits that we have today create who we can be in the future. And one of the tensions that we face in our life is we don't have great habits. We haven't established healthy routines in our life, and many of us pay the price for these unhealthy habits that started long ago. I love how John Maxwell talks about these ideas. He says, everything we want in life, everything worthwhile, it's uphill. Every good thing that we want to do for ourselves, our families, our communities, they take work. They don't happen overnight. And sometimes it feels like an uphill battle just to make it happen. But it's worthwhile. We expect it to be an uphill climb to accomplish it, because if it's worth anything, it will take work. So everything worthwhile is uphill. The problem is we have downhill habits. We're trying to do these things that are way up here, but our habits take us down. We don't always want to do the hard work to make it happen. We look at other people and think, why do they have it so easy? Why do I have to work so hard? And we quit before we should. We let ourselves off the hook before we should. And Maxwell says the only way to get uphill for these worthwhile things is self-discipline, to keep at it day after day, year after year. It's my responsibility to discipline myself in the rhythms and the habits that help me grow. Nobody else's. And everybody's rhythms and discipline require different things from them. And so I can't compare myself to somebody else and say, well, why is it just come naturally? I'm not them and they aren't me. We aren't racing against somebody else. We're not comparing where we are right now to somebody else's fully polished routine that has been worked on for 15 years, right? It's control over myself and my own life. And the only way to truly live the life that we desire, to grow spiritually into these men and women that God has called us to be, is to have a plan. And Peter Scazzaro, in his book we've been talking about, The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, he calls it a rule of life. And he said it has a rich history in the Christian life. He says it's an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything we do. It provides guidelines to help us continually remember God as the source of our lives. He said it includes our unique combinations of spiritual practices that provide structure and direction for us to intentionally pay attention and remember God in everything we do. Creating the right rhythms in our life help us remember God in the things that we do. And friends, it's one of the most important things that we can do to grow and mature our souls. Because we know life is messy and it's hectic and it's loud, and we get so invested in other things, we find ourselves forgetting God, forgetting who God created us to be or the options that he's given us to follow him. So Paul, in his letter to his friends in Colossians, gives us a really good foundation to get started. This is what he says in Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. He says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Paul gives us this kind of map, this pattern to follow to help grow with Christ. And he says these big words like receive and continue and strengthened and overflowing. So let's break down these four ideas piece by piece. The first one he says is receive, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. Connection to Christ is a gift. We don't do anything to earn our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something we work towards, it's something we receive. It's not something we earn our way to, it's something God freely and graciously gives us. It's not something that we deserve or something that we have to figure out how to be worthy enough of. It's a gift that we receive, given with love and grace. The only way that we can respond is with a humble attitude of reception to what's been given. And when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, we receive it with humility, not pride, right? I'm so messed up that Christ had to die for me, but I'm so loved and valued that Christ chose to die for me. That doesn't stir up pride in our hearts. It stirs up humility, the idea that Christ was willing to do this on our behalf. And as we live in the incredible gift of who Christ is and what he's done for us, Paul says we receive that and then we stay connected to him. He says, continue. We do life connected to Christ. As we move forward, we do so with him every day. How do I walk with Jesus Christ today? How do I take a step in my faith with Christ today? And Paul says, here's how. Let me show you. You continue in Christ by being rooted and built up in him. Paul loves a good analogy, and he uses, we've been talking about different things growing, and so this rooted and built up in him gives us an image, and I think trees are a really good way to look at it. Trees, if you ever have looked into this, have the ability to grow in the most ridiculous conditions and ridiculous places. If you want something to do, just Google trees growing in crazy places. Here, I'll show you some pictures of some of the things that you see. You'll see a tree that grew right through a piano. There are different things that trees grow, like around a house or over a rock or on the top of like a giant cliff that just seems that nothing could survive up there. You've probably seen walking down the road something growing up through the cracks of a sidewalk, or one of my favorites I've ever seen is this tree, and it literally has a bike, an old antique bike, growing right in the middle of it. Now, the only way that these trees keep growing through all of these obstacles is where their roots are planted. Paul says, I want you to have this image in Christ. We grow in our life, even in the midst of obstacles and ridiculous things, when we're connected to Christ. He's our foundation, and we're strengthened in our connection to him. Here's what we know about life. Things get in the way. Things happen that weren't part of the plan. Obstacles pop up, and here we are just trying to walk down a path, and things pop out of nowhere that we couldn't expect and we couldn't predict. The world is an unpredictable place. People are unpredictable. And if we don't have our foundations right, all of these things disrupt our journey and our well-being. And Paul says, look, you can be like a tree growing in the wild, in the midst of the most crazy place. Instead of the obstacles overthrowing us or deterring us or derailing us, they just have to get absorbed into our life because we're moving forward with Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. And what we can't change, we'll grow around because we're continuing forward with him. Friends, this is important for us because it reminds us it's not the circumstances that we face in a life that allow us or prevent us from growing. It's what we're connected to. Because here's the truth. We all have different circumstances. We all have impossible things that happen that think, okay, this is it. There's nothing I can do now. I've tried everything. But regardless of the circumstance, Paul says you can grow, you can continue, you can move forward with Christ if he's your foundation and you are connected to him. When we're connected to the wrong thing, our unhealthy habits, unhealthy behaviors, unhealthy people, we get exhausted and worn down. But connected to Christ, we are renewed and restored and have the ability to grow and flourish with him. You know, saying yes to following Jesus Christ, that's not the end, that's the beginning. The beginning of, you know, he chooses us and we follow him. It's just the foundation. And then the rest of our lives, we're figuring out how to grow up in him. God gave us the Holy Spirit to be at work in us, helping renew our faith and strengthen our faith and grow our faith. And it takes a lifetime. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes day after day after day connecting to Jesus and growing more and more into our very best versions of who he's created us to be. You know, if you look up a bristlecone pine tree, it can take it years just to grow a few inches. But year after year after year they grow, and they build on the growth and build on the growth, and it's not obvious at first, but the growth compounds, and year after year, you have all this growth until suddenly you see a huge flourishing tree that once was just a tiny sapling. The same is true in our lives. We don't become saints overnight. We don't become perfect. It takes a lifetime of growth. But little by little, year after year, we keep connecting to Jesus Christ and we grow. Our hearts change. The desires of our hearts change. What we thought we wanted for our life changes. What drives us, what helps us to persevere and stay strong changes. What ruins us doesn't quite look the same anymore. And the changes might seem small, they might seem slight, but the more and more we connect to Jesus, the more we grow. And what happens is the changes that once used to seem so small now make all the difference in the world. But here's the thing. For that to happen, it requires connecting with Jesus Christ again and again, rooted and built up in him. Real life change doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And we might say, I want to change, but living out that change requires effort and uphill discipline to get us there. Success takes time. Accomplishing great goals takes time. Doing things that matter and are worthwhile takes time. And I don't make a good choice today and immediately see the result tomorrow. This is the hard tension between bad habits and good habits. Bad habits have an immediate payoff. They feel good right away, but in the long run is when they feel bad. But in contrast, good habits are hard right away. Do you ever try changing a habit and then sticking to it? It feels hard right away. It feels every inch of the uphill battle that Maxwell talked about. But the long run feels great. And to get there, we have to stick with it, rooted and built up in Jesus Christ over time. And Paul says, this leads to being strengthened in our faith or established in our faith, which is this idea of constant and steadfast and growing. We think about faith as a way of knowing God. We know things through different patterns, right? We know things through perception. We know things through experience. We know things through faith. The more we know Christ, the more our faith grows. The more time we spend connected to Christ, the more we grow in our faith, understanding, and knowledge. And the way to know more about Christ is to be constant in spending time with him, steadfast in the life that he's called us to do. And look, I know it's hard to be constant, right? It's hard to do anything repeatedly over time. We have uphill goals and downhill habits, and it's easy to fall back again and again. It can be hard to be steadfast, especially when it feels like life beat us down, especially when we're feeling vulnerable about something, especially when we feel exhausted and like, I just can't do it anymore, or something hard happens and that's the excuse we need not to keep going. It's almost always easier to give up than it is to persevere. But the more we give in, the more we quit, the more we settle, the more we stop dreaming and striving, the less we fully live the lives that we've been created to live. It's hard not to give up. It is. It's hard not to grow weary, but there's never been anything worthwhile done without perseverance. Nothing great was ever accomplished without effort. And time is one of those tricky things. We think we've got all the time in the world to accomplish all the things that we want, and then the next thing we know, years have gone by. Sometimes the days feel endless, like we're never gonna get through this day. And then in a blink of an eye, we look back and 5 years later, we think, how did I get here? And it always goes so much quicker than we could imagine. Friends, our very best lives are waiting for us to be lived. Not someday far off, but right now, today. This is our life, who we are, the choices we're making right now, the rhythms, the habits that we create. This is our life. And creating the healthy rhythms to help us grow and strengthen our faith and remain steadfast always sets us up for a better future. So I want to give us some ideas about how to create healthy rhythms to help strengthen our faith. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of the Disciplines. And he said, superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is primarily a spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent or gifted people, but for deep people. The classical disciplines of the spiritual life call us to move beyond surface living into the depths. They invite us to explore the inner caverns of the spiritual realm. They urge us to answer to be the answer to a hollow world. We need depth to our faith and our relationship to Jesus Christ. And one of the tools that is afforded to us that helps us grow deeper in our faith and deeper in our relationship and connection to Christ is the idea of the spiritual disciplines. Now, disciplines, I know, sometimes has like a harsh negative connotation, but the idea, they're valuable simply because they allow us to do what we can't do by willpower alone, right? If willpower alone worked, then we'd all have six-pack abs and we'd all be able to climb Mount Everest and do ridiculous things, right? It's not enough because our willpower has, they get tapped out. We only have so much and it gets expended quickly. But the goal of a spiritual discipline is to use activities in our life to create more opportunity, more room for God to work, to carve out moments in our life where we turn aside from everything else that's going on and required of us and shift our focus and our attention to God and spend time in His presence. They're healthy habits. They're healthy rhythms for life that we can establish to help us grow and be healthier people. And Dallas Willard is an incredibly smart man, and he wrote a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And he says the idea is that you can really put these into two different categories, the disciplines of engagement and the disciplines of abstinence. In engagement, we are intentionally doing certain things, worship, study, fellowship, giving. And in abstinence, we're intentionally refraining from doing things, fasting, solitude, silence. I wish I had 3 hours. I'd go through all of these with you, but today we're going to focus just on the idea of the disciplines of engagement. What are things that we can do to grow and develop our spiritual life from action, engagement, things that we can do? So I'm going to just give us 4 examples of what Dallas Willard tells us. The first one, he says, is study. We have the ability to study this great Bible that God has given us. You know, our Bible is a resource that shows us how God reveals himself and what he can do and his purpose and history and how we can connect to him. And when we study the Bible, what we're doing is engaging ourselves with the written and spoken word of God. And nothing is more important for our faith and growth than hearing and obeying the word of God. And when we study these words, we're seeing the work of God, how God worked in the life of other people and in the church and in history and in nature. So we hear what's going on and we inquire what's going on. We meditate what comes before us. We think about it. We fill our mind with what's going on. When we talk about meditating on Scripture, we're not just mindlessly emptying our mind of other things. We're emptying of our distractions so we can fill it with the things of God. We're seeking to think God's thoughts after Him. We're learning to delight in His presence and to desire His truth and His way. You know, one of the things that study does for us is I want to know more about God. I really want to know more of who God wants me to be. And what we study determines the kind of habits that we form in our life. You know, you are what you do, and the more time you spend with certain things, the more you grow in those things that you spend time with. And when we spend time with God through the Bible, we connect to Jesus Christ and who he is and who he's called us to be, and the Holy Spirit's at work growing our faith and our values and our characters in him. And Paul reminded his friend Timothy, he said, listen, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. And in it, we are equipped for every good work. To stay rooted and built up in Christ, we have to spend time getting to know him. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you read the Bible every day. Maybe it's been 5 years since you've picked it up. Maybe the last time you tried, you got to like Leviticus and you're like, I need a break. I don't understand this. It's always a good time to reconnect and study the Word of God. If you need a Bible, you just let us know. You can hit connect with us on our live stream or on Facebook. We'd be happy to share a Bible with you. We have study methods, the SOAP Bible method, about how to study and observe and understand Scripture to help us in this idea of engaging with Christ at one more level. The second idea of engagement that Dallas Willard gives us is worship. In worship, we're simply expressing our love for Jesus Christ. And you can worship in different ways, right? The study of God and his word opens up our hearts and it opens up the way for worship and celebration. And in worship, we are engaging with dwelling upon, thinking about the greatness, the beauty, the wonder, the goodness of God. And we do it through different ways. We do it through music. We do it through prayer. We do it through preaching. We do it through studying the Bible. We do it in silence. We do it in giving. All of these ways engage us in the presence of God and his goodness and his wonder and who he is. When we are worshiping God, what we're saying is, I assign worth to what I think has value. And we're saying God has an incredible amount of value and is worth being worshiped. And our worship is most profitable in our life when we are centering it upon Jesus Christ. When we fill our minds and our hearts with wonder at him. When we are just blown away by how good and wonderful that he is, his reality, and we worship God because of who he is, because of what he's done, and it's us looking for God. It's us listening to God. It's us thinking about God and letting him guide us, which means we have personal times of inner worship, right? We have corporate times where we worship together, but all of it is our emotions, our hearts, our minds, bringing them to God and thinking about him. We engage, we connect to Christ, we connect to who he's called us to be through worship. And then the third idea I love is celebration. You know, God is fun. The creator of the world that we live in, who gave us some ridiculous things in this world and a sense of humor and a sense of sarcasm and wit, that's who God created us to be. And when we enjoy ourselves and our life and our world, and when our faith and confidence in God's greatness and goodness, these things come together to help us celebrate the goodness of God and this life that he's given us to live. It looks like genuine gratitude for who God is and just the ability. Sometimes we celebrate, we got here. I don't know about you, but we've been saying this a lot in our family. Like, man, it's been a long road, but look, God got us here, and we're here today, and we're going to celebrate that fact, right? Sometimes you just got to pick a little win and celebrate the heck out of it because it's worth it because of how much you've been through. Celebration brings joy into our life. And remember, joy runs so much deeper than happiness. Happiness is affected by your emotions, but joy is connected to the goodness and the hope of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, we are growing in Christ. We're abounding in thanksgiving. It's not a duty. It's not a I have to. It's not this dreary thing that we've been dragged into doing. It's not this endless cycle of have to and do not. It is a joy. It's a joy in our hearts and in our faith and in our souls. Following Jesus Christ leads to joy. And then this fourth engagement is service. So we have study and we're connected to God and we have worship and celebration. And the fourth engagement is service. And this is where we engage our goods, our strength, our time, our talents in the active promotion of the good of other people and the causes of what God wants to happen in our world. We serve as an act of love and righteousness. It has not anything to do about enhancing myself, but connecting to Christ through service. And in service, we're training ourselves away from arrogance. We're training ourselves away from selfishness, possessiveness, envy, resentment. What happens is in service, we free ourselves from these things that just overwhelm and weigh us down. It opens our heart to other people. It engages us in work that gives us the time to just get out of our own head and spend some time doing for somebody else. It lets us be what we are. It lets us take who God has created us to be as servants of him and to give ourselves away in his service. And it's a discipline because it helps us be less self-centered in order to put God more at the center of who we are. I love how Billy Graham said this the best. He said, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Part of loving God means serving people. Remember, Jesus reminded us that loving God and loving people, that's what God has been driving us toward. And through service, we get to know Christ more. The very one who called us to be servants. The very one who taught us exactly what a servant looks like by giving his life away in service to us. And Paul says, look, we are receiving Christ. It's a gift to know him and connect to him. We continue. We are rooted and built up in him. We strengthen our faith by creating these practices and rhythms in our life. And all of this leads to overflowing in thankfulness to God. When we practice these things, it's not drudgery. It's not dreadful. Instead, it opens up pockets of gratitude and thankfulness in our life that we would not find in any other place. When we look out at this world, the crazy, messy, wonderful world that we are in, this incredible gift of creation, our family, our life, we are where we are right now. We think, who are we that God is even mindful of us? Who are we that God would choose us? Who are we that God would include us and love us and call us to be his? And we can't help but say thank you to God. When we are creating these healthy rhythms in our life, the result is a heart filled with thankfulness. It is not a heart that is overwhelmed or burdened or discouraged or pessimistic, but a heart thankful for who God is, overflowing in joy and hope for what might be. It's actively taking part in God's good work in the world with a heart full of God's blessing. And I know life isn't always easy. We stumble our way through and we get lost here and there. But the truth is, even when we get off course, Christ is always there to redirect us, restore us, help us, and find our way. Even when we don't get it right, Christ is always there to point us in the right direction. And we can trust him to help us get it right. Even when we do detoured, when our hearts are unhealthy, when we aren't growing as we should be, even when we've struggled through the wall moments and overcoming them, Christ is waiting patiently for us, not to shame us, not to guilt us, but to help pick us back up, love us, encourage us, and give us the strength we need to go at it one more time. I want to encourage you today, friends. There's no better time than right now to create healthy rhythms for your life that help you stay connected to Jesus Christ, strengthened, growing in him with a heart filled with thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, please. I pray that where we've gotten off course, you would redirect us in the way that we should go. I pray that we would hear these words of Paul that you gave him to speak in Colossians, and we would open our hearts to receive you one more time. I thank you for the incredible love of Jesus Christ that has given us so much. I pray, Father, that we would continue strengthened in him, rooted and built up in the foundation of who he's called us to be. I pray, Father, even when the world goes crazy, our connection to you would keep us firm, established, and stable. I pray that we would grow right through the obstacles that life throws our way, and that you would help us to create healthy rhythms and practices in our lives that connect us to Jesus Christ again and again and again. I pray that the result of all of this, Father, would be a heart filled with thanksgiving for who you are and what you can do. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.